eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome into the Husker 24/7 podcast. I'm Mike Schaefer, joined by Michael Brunts, Brian Christofferson. Gentlemen, how are you doing here on a Tuesday morning in June?
No complaints at all. Brunts, you look fresh, Brunts. I think you're doing well.
I'm doing all right. I'm still wrapping my head around this PGA LIV merger. It was, I guess everybody's just wearing shorts now. That's what we can take away from all this.
Well, imagine being one of the people that like, nah, I'm not going to go over there. I'm going to pass this payday. And then, you know, everyone else is just making tons of money and they all get to play the same events as you anyways.
It's too bad for guys like Pat Perez that aren't guaranteed the payday now. They got to go and earn it now.
That's tough.
Yeah.
That is tough. All right. Let's just dive right into it. Here's what we're going to do today. Front half of the podcast, we have pulled up the schedule and we're just going to walk through exactly what's going to happen. So you don't even have to watch the season next year. We're going to tell you exactly how it's going to unfold. We're doing this on June 6th, which means we have all the pertinent information one would need. We already know pretty much everything we need to know about what it's going to look like. And we're going to make predictions about a team that's going to have a new quarterback, a new coach, a new defensive system, lots of new faces. And these predictions you can pretty much take to the bank. So if you get future lines and you like what you hear, take all your money and put it on it because you know we're going to be correct. That's just how these things tend to work. So we're just going to jump right into it. First game of the year on a Thursday, Nebraska travels to Minnesota to take on the Gophers. It is a big Fox game, 7 o'clock kickoff. Michael Brunts, we'll start with you. Matt Rhule era 1-0 or oh no?
I think it gets off to a bad start, but I think that's going to be a really close game. First games are really hard to predict, but I think Minnesota's got enough coming back that, you know, even though they lose a bunch of ninth year seniors, they'll row the boats and probably I'm in my head seeing a 20-17 loss for Nebraska.
Okay, that covers the number, which is
yeah, eight. It does. It gets like I said, I think it's going to be a close game. I just think it's going to be tough for Minnesota. They're used to like playing like San Jose State right out of the gates at home.
Have you guys ever gone into a Nebraska opener more so like what the heck is this going to look like than this one? Last year's was some ways with Whipple's offense, but I think this one because on both sides of the ball is even amped up from that. I'm going to say because I want this to look right at the end in my head. I think they're not going to win the first two, so I'm going to say this one's a loss, a close loss as well. Although I would add to that, Minnesota's got a lot of question marks, and that I thought Mo Ibrahim was such a big deal to them, especially in that game in Lincoln last year, that his not being there shouldn't be taken for granted. And even though Tanner Morgan was kind of up and down, he was just like the face of that position for so long. You wonder what it looks like now.
Yeah, BC described exactly why I think Nebraska has a chance to win this. And I wouldn't be surprised if Minnesota's better by the end of the year. But they start kind of slow, and they got to figure out a lot of their key positions right off the bat. I mean, so does Nebraska. But I think I'm going to go with the upset. I'm going 1-0 here. Nebraska wins on a let's say a Tristan Alvano field goal, Bruns. How do you like that? How do you like them apples?
Good to see somebody making some field goals in that building when it matters.
Think of how hot that story would be at like 11:15 p.m. on that Thursday if Alvano like knocks in a 53-yarder and he's doing an interview like that'll you know you can
right in
you
the face of that, when they put the big gopher up there.
Yeah. Yeah,
we get or whatever it is.
The farm screaming at Machine to get the axe.
Yeah.
Nebraska's gonna go steal the axe from Minnesota. And
maybe he runs down the Minnesota sideline like the Iowa kicker did the one time to Frost. He gives him the shush.
Waves goodbye.
I'm not saying you would do that, Tristan. I'm just saying it for us would be entertaining.
He just starts screaming "Stars over culture" in PJ Fleck's face.
See, hopefully.
I love this. This is BC threw this out as something we needed to do in early June. I love it. It's off to a great start. All right, so I'm 1-0. You guys are both 0-1. Nebraska goes to Colorado. 10 a.m. local time kick. Home game for Deion Sanders and the Colorado Buffaloes. Second straight away game for Nebraska. Michael Bruns, is it 0-2? And what did you do?
No, it's mimosas and big road wins. That's what it is. It's okay. Nebraska's going to go on the road. They're going to beat Colorado. Colorado, lots of stars, lots of guys coming, lots of mercenaries coming in to play football. I think the stadium's half red. I think Nebraska comes out with a win and finishes off what they couldn't do in 2019.
All right. Look at that. What do you got, BC?
I'll challenge the Husker fans because I think Colorado is going to do a better job of keeping some Nebraska fans out than obviously the last time in the Frost era. But I think there'll be like 15,000 Nebraska fans. That's my prediction. I predict a Husker win. The game that comes to my mind to compare it to how it'll go is remember in the Callahan era, they played that game at Pittsburgh, which was a strange game. And there's like flooding and there was the like boats that there was like million-dollar boats that were, you know, going down the flood and you know, running into bridges and stuff as this game was being played. I think Nebraska will jump out to a similar sort of advantage like they had in that game, but then it'll be kind of ugly and they'll end up winning by like a touchdown. So that's gets them to 1-1.
Yeah, I don't really know exactly how this game will play out. I like Nebraska to come out on top because of their depth, and I don't know exactly what Colorado will look like early on with 15 players currently on their campus. So we'll see on that one. But I've got Nebraska 2-0. You're both 1-1. Game 3, first home game of the Matt Rhule era at home under the lights. Yeah, under the lights, Northern Illinois. Northern Illinois, who I believe upset Scott Frost in, you know, his first opportunity against them. How's it look? The Huskies, they won the MAC a few years ago.
We can probably go quickly through these next two, right? I mean, Northern Illinois and Louisiana Tech, led by DeColdis Crawford. I think those are both wins for Nebraska.
I put them down at wins. I'm at 4-0. You're at 3-1, BC.
Yeah, I'll give them two wins here. One of them will be a little more of a scrappy contest where it's in danger in the fourth quarter, but they'll work through it and end up 3-1 in my book as they head to the next game, which is Michigan.
Yeah, Nebraska, as I see it, will have a number next to their name. They'll be ranked. Yeah. Ranked 4-0 at home like against 19th? Michigan. And I don't think it's going to go well at all. So I'm just going to go ahead and say Michigan wins that one. Nebraska's 4-1 to me. Bruns, you thinking upset?
No, to go back to it, the Northern Illinois game you're thinking of was the Tanner Lee helmet pass. That was the death blow for the Riley era.
Okay, so am I thinking of – I always Troy. Get Northern Illinois and Arkansas State confused. Troy. Is Arkansas State who beat Andrew Bunch in 2018?
You're thinking of Troy.
Troy. Gee, I can't. They're all the same.
Yeah.
This is bad. That tells you how many terrible games Nebraska's had, by the way.
Yeah, the 21-17 loss was in 17. And that, yeah, Scott Frost's team actually handled Northern Illinois pretty well, 44-8.
Okay. My apologies to Scott Frost and how they played Northern Illinois. Dedrick Mills, big game that day.
You're playing the averages, so you're fine. No, I don't think that Nebraska beats Michigan. I think that's going to be a very big test of Nebraska's defensive front seven, and I don't know how up to the challenge they're going to be for that one.
BC?
Yeah, I think Michigan's loaded up for Bear, so they're going to be tough to beat. Michigan by 17 points, something like that. Nebraska 3-2.
Here's a Big Ten West team I have no idea what to do with, which is all of them, but especially Illinois. That's who Nebraska would play after the Michigan game. Illinois on a Friday night, short week. Friday night in Champaign. I'm sure the atmosphere will be lit. What are you thinking, Brian?
All right. This one is a true toss-up. I think Illinois is going to miss some pieces like Chase Brown that aren't there anymore. So I will say, Nebraska gets a road win here. And it's similar to not the score-a-thon that one other Friday night game is where Nebraska overcame like five turnovers to win 42-38 during the Frost era, but a similar margin of victory. It'll be like a 3 or 4 point win.
Okay. Brunts?
4-2.
I'll say that Nebraska finds a way. I don't like where it falls on the schedule. I don't like that it's a night game. There's a lot to not like about this game. I'll go with the fact that they find a way somehow to come out with the win. It's Nebraska always kind of has done that at Illinois, I feel like. And this is where it's going to be one of those games where at the end of the season, you're going to look back and you're like, how did Nebraska win that game? But they're going to. Very narrowly, and I'll say a 6 point win.
I think the way it falls in the schedule, short week coming off of having played what I assume is going to be a really physical game with Michigan, I don't love it. I think Brett Bielema just has Nebraska's number, regardless of who's coach at the moment. I'm going Illinois on this one. So 4-0 start to 4-2 for me. 2-game losing streak. Nebraska heads into the bye week. Brunts 4-2. BC 4-2. Schaefer 4-2. We all end up in the same spot. We get there a little bit differently. All right. Bye week has now passed. Nebraska takes on Pat Fitzgerald for perhaps the last time. I don't know.
Is he going to the pros? You think he's going to the NFL after this year?
I don't know where he's going to go, but he can't keep winning one game a year. I'll tell you that much.
Watch him try.
If anyone could, he's got the best chance, but it's going to be a difficult thing. Northwestern, another team. This is going to be a common refrain because the Big Ten West is just a mess. Hard to really know what you're going to get there. Obviously, Nebraska lost in Ireland last year. Kind of felt like at the time they gave that game away. You look at it later, it certainly seemed like they gave that game away. Michael Bruntz, do they get back to their winning way? Well, I guess you had them beating Illinois. Do they sweep the state of Illinois?
Yeah, they walk out of there with Lincoln's hat, which I believe is what they play for. Yes, Pat Fitzgerald will greet everybody that he normally does before the game in Lincoln by name. We'll be feeling good, and I think Nebraska finally figures out how to not crap the bed against Northwestern and gets it done. So a little bit more 2021, a little less Dublin for the Huskers.
All right, 5-2 says Brunts, BC.
I'm going to require some June leeway on this pick. I believe Nebraska is going to win the game, but my pick for the purpose of this podcast is Northwestern, and here's why. I'm doing this to show, like, I think this is the type of season where there's going to be that game where it's like, what the stink was that? You know, like where they just lose one where you're like, oh man, I thought they had momentum, you know, and it's the stuff that happens in a first year. I don't know that this is that particular game, but I have them at 4-2 right now. Illinois, I was kind of a gift to Nebraska, I think. So I'm going to say, as an example of like, oh, they had that high moment where they won one where you weren't sure about, then they are supposed to keep going and they don't. I'll say they lose a game like this. So put them at 4-3 for me for right now.
BC trying to make sure no Nebraska fan gets to feel too good at any point, even during a fictional podcast. that we are doing right now. I love it. You love that kind of commitment. I'm going with Nebraska to win. I think they'll win this game in the same fashion that they won in 2021. Just an utter blowout. Coming off the bye week, just going to absolutely demolish whatever's left of Northwestern at that point. So bookmark this on the podcast, and we'll revisit it when we do the Hypecast for that game. All right. After that, they stay at home. It feels like they're on the road all season, but they stay at home. They just had Northwestern, another home game against Purdue. How you guys feeling? Ryan Walters, he's making his debut as a head coach, but there's a little bit of Purdue talk about the defense and what's left over and all of that stuff. I don't know how they're going to score. I don't know what it looks like on offense, but will Purdue and its salty defense be an issue for Nebraska at the end of October?
That this would be a game that I would kind of lean more towards what Brian said, where you just have one of those games where it's just like, doesn't look right, doesn't feel right. You kind of get the nervous murmurs in Memorial Stadium about 10 minutes into the second quarter when nothing's really looking good. The other team's just hanging around. So here's my problem is I know the number I need to get to at the end of the season. I'm just trying to figure out how the hell I get there. So this is a total coin flip game. I think Nebraska gets it done. I don't think it's going to be pretty by any means. I think Nebraska's defense, the Tony White defense, actually is going to match up okay with what Purdue is going to try to do offensively. I think they're going to chuck it around the yard a bit. So I'll go Nebraska in a very narrow, just, you know, hide the kids, don't let them watch the game type win.
All right, Brian.
I'm gonna take Purdue. I don't know exactly what Ryan Walters is gonna have there. This would be, of course, back to back losses in Memorial Stadium. But I think this could be. There's gonna be a point in the schedule where there's that difficult road where, like, are they gonna make a bowl game type of situation? And I think this could be it. Where you have to really push back and fight through the grind of the season. So I'll give them a loss here and put them at 4-4 heading toward the stretch run.
I have a loss here as well. I just think Purdue's going to be the better team. Kind of with Brian, I don't know week to week if we're going to see the most consistent Nebraska effort in 2023. So I have them at a loss that puts it at 5-3 for me. I believe Brunts is at 5-3. And BC's at 4-4. Brunts isn't sure he's got to do his math again.
It seems like Brunts has him at like 7-1 to me.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough to say.
I've already got Nebraska booking tickets to Indy at this point. That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
It's going to get ugly here in a minute, though.
It's now on to the month of November. Four games left. Oh, Nebraska's going up to the woodshed. The scene of the most horrific special teams crime that we've ever seen. That's not even true. You have so many to choose from when it's Nebraska, but this one was particularly bad. Mel Tucker needs a good season, and it's kind of a mess up there for Michigan State. Can Nebraska get it done on the road in the state of Michigan? We're going to go with BC this time.
Yes, and to bring it back to the PGA Live Talk. Last time we were up there was also USA was in the Ryder Cup. I remember we were watching it, Schaefer and I, at a sports bar before the game, and USA just cleaned their clocks. I believe at Whistling Straits. But yes, Nebraska will win this game and get past some of those demons from the last time. Brian Buscini will give us a storyline by having 3 pin jobs inside the 5-yard line, and Nebraska wins by 7 points.
Okay. Brunt?
Three-point Nebraska loss in an ugly game. It's going to be cloudy. It's going to be mucky up there. And for some way, somehow, Michigan State's going to pull it out. Maybe a late turnover. So I think Nebraska does not find success in the woodshed.
This is going to be a premium points game, and I think this is Mel Tucker designs a defense that just befuddles Jeff Sims. I like the Spartans here to win this one. So that puts Nebraska at 5-4 for me. Brunts has it at what? We'll let Brunts figure it out. BC, I think, is now 5-4 as well.
I am 5-4. And people are feeling good now again after that road win.
right. Maryland, Mike Locksley and the Terps and Talia Tagovailoa and whoever else coming to Lincoln next weekend following that Michigan State game. I'll get this one out of the way. Matt Rhule wins, solidifies a bowl berth for Nebraska. People react quite excitedly here in Lincoln. The Huskers, 6 wins for the first time since 2016. BC.
I didn't expect to work it this way when we started this, that Nebraska would struggle so much at home, but the way I'm playing it out, I'll give Maryland a win. Maryland's one of those teams where you always wonder about in the trenches. I think they're getting better there, but their skill guys are always scary. And I'll give Maryland a slight edge in a very entertaining game to put Nebraska at 5-5.
Brunt?
I'll give Nebraska the win. I think Maryland's always got good individual players. I don't know that they're there yet up front. So I'll go a narrow Nebraska win at home. And maybe dreams of a Florida bowl game dancing in people's heads as they head into the final two.
All right. Well, let's see what happens in these final two games. Nebraska goes back on the road again, and the Huskers have to travel to Madison, where they will face a new look, throwing it around the yard, Wisconsin Badgers under Luke Fickell. Wisconsin predicted by many to win the Big Ten West again. I'm baffled by it. What says you, BC?
Nebraska is due to beat these guys, but I'm going to say not this year. It's 1 year away. I think, again, it's going to be a theme of close games. I suspect Nebraska is going to have the material to be in all these games in the fourth quarter. I've heard good things about like how Wisconsin's been coming together through the spring. And so I'll kind of take that and run with it and say the Badgers are my favorite to win the West. Not by much, but they are my favorite, and I'll pick them to beat Nebraska here.
Brunt?
Yeah, I'll go Wisconsin. I think BC's right that Nebraska might be a season away there. I think it's probably asking a lot to go to Madison and win a November road game right out of the chute. So I'll go with the loss there for Nebraska.
This is one of our few sweeps besides those two non-conference games in Michigan. So I've got Wisconsin as well winning this one. I don't really believe in the Badgers, but I just think it's too much to ask for Nebraska to go into Camp Randall and win that game on the road in November without a team that I feel super confident in their ability to just be able to run the ball. So that takes it to the last week of the season. Iowa, Nebraska, Black Friday at home in Memorial Stadium. I think Nebraska's going to win 2 straight against Iowa, and Matt Rhule finishes his first year 7-5. That's where I land. What do you got, Brian?
Yeah, CBS game, too. We get the music. They got a great time slot at the 11 a.m. I think the Huskers take care of business in this one. And I'll say it's one of those where Nebraska finally gets Iowa down on a day where Iowa just has everything go wrong and Nebraska keeps its foot down and wins comfortably to go 6-6. And then they set themselves up for the Pinstripe Bowl, which they'll win to finish 7-6.
Oh, wow. So you've got them needing to win that game to get to the bowl game. Look at BC just throwing it out there, just the sort of drama that we've experienced about a million times in the last 5 years.
Yeah. Bruns? Well, go ahead, Browns.
Yeah, I think in order to get to my 7 number, I think this has to be a loss based on my predictions. I got a little was feeling a little froggy in that Illinois Northwestern Purdue stretch that I might revisit when we get a little bit closer to the season. This is a total coin flip game. I think Iowa's going to be better at quarterback this year. I don't know that I'm buying the June like Iowa's going to, you know, be the huge surprise team out there. But to hit my number, I will go with a very, very narrow Iowa win in Memorial Stadium. I think that gets me to 7-5 on the season. So that's where I will I'll go as of now.
All right. So now that you have all made your predictions, we all have Nebraska making a bowl game. What bowl game are they going to play in?
6-6, 7-5. You're in Las Vegas bowl territory right there, I think. So I'm hoping Las Vegas bowl versus some of the other options that are out there. So I'll go with I'll go Vegas Bowl against a somewhat surprising and upstart. See, now I'm getting into who's coming out of the Pac-12. Give me Washington. They get Washington in the Vegas Bowl.
Okay. I like it. BC, what do you got?
All right, I'm going to switch gears. I said Pinstripe Bowl, but I'm going to say the Guaranteed Rate Bowl.
Oh, come on.
Is that what you were? What?
I'm just stealing my bowl game over here.
Oh, sorry. Well, I think it's a safe pick because it would be what a 6-6, 7-5 type team might get. And also, it's against the Big 12, and you know how these things work. They'll find somebody that Nebraska sort of pairs with from the past that gives them that matchup. So,
are you going to steal my matchup too?
I'm going to say it's Kansas.
Okay. Right. I also have Guaranteed Rate Bowl, but I'm going to say it's Oklahoma State, and the quarterback in that game is going to be Zane Flores.
Oh. See, I didn't get it. You were able to keep your thunder.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. Matt Rhule and Nebraska versus Zane Flores and Mike Gundy. Guaranteed Rate Bowl 2023. You know you want it. So that's how the season's going to go. You guys should still watch the games. We're still going to cover it. We're still going to act surprised. But we've already broken it all down. Looks like it's going to be a solid year for Nebraska. Anything you would like to add to this before we finally get to break, and then we have a very short segment coming up.
You guys, that would be two seasons in a row for Oklahoma State in the Guaranteed Rate Bowl.
I didn't even look to see if they played in it last
year. It's a 9:15 kickoff locally, too.
They're going to get the Holiday Bowl treatment?
Yeah, you're going to
– or whatever it is that Nebraska was getting. Yeah.
They got Wisconsin in the Guaranteed Rate Bowl last season.
Well, now I feel less certain on it, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I almost went with TCU from going to the national championship game to having to play in the Guaranteed Rate Bowl the next year.
I could see that.
It felt like that's a real possibility. But all right, we're going to take a quick timeout here, and when we come back, we are going to hustle through very quickly Nebraska's big visit weekend and set a few things up for the rest of the week. All right, we will take that break right now.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We're going to dive through this very, very fast. Nebraska had 9 official visits over the weekend. All of them went well. We were able to catch up with pretty much everybody Mario Buford will be making an announcement on Thursday. He is committing. He released a top seven. I know Nebraska's in it. I got to be honest. I didn't really look at the rest of it because to me, guys, when you're announcing a decision shortly after your official visit, and it's the only official visit you took, and you took that official visit on the first weekend, and it was in replace of another one that you had scheduled, it sure looks like Nebraska's just got a pretty good shot for Mario Buford, defensive back. I know we've all heard about Mario Buford for several years now. Any initial thoughts on that announcement being made, BC?
No, just, I mean, you love what his whole family, what they're about. Like, I know their parents have been very instrumental in their success. And Marquise is, from the day he got here, was a guy who was sort of a leader in this program. And I've talked to Mario once or twice, and some of those same sort of qualities sort of emerge even in a quick interview with him, where you can tell he can fit in well. So if he commits to Nebraska, I think he's a good guy from various fronts, not only as a player, but off the field.
Brunt?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like Nebraska's been recruiting him for a decade. You know, I just, from an athleticism point of view, I mean, he's an elite athlete. You know, he's another quality prospect in Texas that Nebraska's really made a priority. And you know, you look at the other schools that were recruiting him to, and are recruiting him. I mean, they've really had to, you know, Matt Rhule's staff has really had to kind of get back into that conversation a little bit, I think, because, you know, anytime you have a coaching change, you kind of have to restart that relationship. And I think they've done a good job this spring of getting down to see him. Evan Cooper has really been instrumental there as well. So, you know, I think it's probably, you know, a little bit affirming too for a coaching staff when you have a sibling on a staff or a sibling on a roster, and, you know, the younger sibling is still considering that school and you know, really believes in maybe what that coaching staff's selling. So, you know, we'll see what the decision is there, but certainly I think Nebraska is in a good spot based on everything they've done this spring to kind of get back in that conversation.
All right. So there's eight other visitors. We're not going to go through all of them, but I'm going to have each of you pick one or two, and we'll run through those individuals, how the visit weekend went. BC, who do you want to hear about?
Ja'Cory Barney.
Ja'Cory Barney, wide receiver from Miami Palmetto. Will Turboff caught up with him, and it sounds like this visit was everything that he and his mom really were hoping to see. I mean, I think that Nebraska has been high on the list for the Barneys for a while. He's connected with Corey Collier and Dwight Boodle and Willis McGahee, and Nebraska's got other connections into the Miami area, including, you know, Coach Cooper and everything else. So I thought that it was pretty telling that one of the quotes in there from Will's story was about how his mom really needed to see it, and she left amazed by Nebraska and obviously feels more comfortable now about the idea of her son potentially going far away. I thought it was great that Daniel Kalin was able to make it over to visit with him. That's going to be his quarterback if you were to pick Nebraska. And so, and then, you know, I think we're seeing Garrett McGuire, I think, does a pretty good job with wide receivers when he gets a chance to see them in person. You know, I've heard good things from about every receiver that's come through this spring already. And so no surprise there. Another great visit, Ja'Cory Barney. He's still got trips left, though. I mean, Illinois and Texas A&M. But I think Nebraska's really set a high bar, and I think it's going to be tough for anybody else to potentially, you know, supersede that. But we'll see. It's recruiting for a reason. Brunts, who do you got?
Yeah, I know you caught up with Joseph Anderson and his dad, longtime NFL player. Where do things stand with him? Because I think he's maybe kind of an under the radar guy from the weekend that kind of has the toolsy type things that Nebraska looks for.
Yeah, I'm kind of amazed it's as quiet as it is for him. I mean, he's got about everything that you look for in your edge players with that kind of height and size combination. He hasn't played as much organized football, but he's a tremendous athlete, a triple jump champion. You know, he's just an explosive guy off the edge. And then he comes from a family of football players. His dad played in the NFL. They had a really good visit. They liked Matt Rhule a lot. His dad, I think, was super impressed by just, you know, how personable everybody was and how, you know, personable. They made the visit. I mean, it wasn't like it was a cattle call. It wasn't like it was, you know, you just got, everyone's got name tags and they don't know who you are. So I think they like that a lot. Kansas and Iowa are involved here, but I think Nebraska is in a better spot than each of those schools, just based on what I've been hearing. The one school to watch out for, Missouri, if they decide to come through with an offer, that could flip things pretty quickly for him to be able to stay close to home. Obviously, St. Louis, the Bermuda Triangle of recruiting for Nebraska, but I think the Joseph Anderson visit went pretty well. I mean, he liked the players. He liked the staff. I know his dad seems super comfortable with the idea of Nebraska. And so I think it's just a matter of trying to skate by some of these other visits and seeing what Missouri does and keeping the pressure on too. They don't have a lot of edge guys like this that it feels like they're in a good spot for. So I think that's why he's so valuable in my mind. You guys got one more?
Tell me about William Speedy Nettles.
Yeah, William Nettles is a defensive back from Dallas Christian School. He had a better year as a wide receiver, but he told me that he largely only plays wide receiver, so it kind of helps him, you know what's going on as a defensive back. Like, he uses it as a research opportunity. And then he said it also helps him if he does come up with interceptions. He's got the ability to run and move and do everything after the catch because he does that all the time as a receiver. He's a pretty interesting guy. His schools are really interesting. It's Nebraska, it's SMU, and it's Purdue. I can't think of that being anyone's kind of top three or really, you know, kind of a unique subset there, but SMU is the home school and Purdue's kind of the one to watch here. They've been recruiting him for 3 years now, same defensive backs coach. Obviously Ryan Walters helped put several guys from Illinois into the NFL here in the last couple of years. And then you've got this coach who I think his name is Sam Charles. I might have that wrong. But he's been recruited for 3 seasons. So it's a lot. Nebraska, I think, did a great job. He felt very comfortable with the coaching staff. He said that he loves hearing from them all the time. He's been up here several times. He thinks the facilities are going to be amazing. I just have this feeling. It's just this gut feeling that Nebraska's trailing somehow. And I could be completely misreading the situation, but I think there's still some work to do for them to land William Nettles. Obviously, other visitors that were here, Peyton Morgan, Dante Carter, both of those guys, you know, seem like they could be making commitments together. So it feels like it's a very Nebraska, Texas Tech thing. Carlone Jones, I think Nebraska is in a great spot for, but the TCU visit that he has this upcoming weekend could be concerning. Caleb Pyfrom, good visit there, but he's going to Clemson. He's going to try to earn an offer. Anybody else that I'm missing from the weekend?
Amari Sanders.
He was really interesting because I didn't know a lot about him. I think this is someone that the staff thinks is going to really blow up if he gets to play a senior year uncommitted. And so I think they're pushing really, really hard. Florida and Florida State have now gotten involved down in the Sunshine State. But Matt Rhule, I think, was a real difference maker this weekend. I've never had a kid tell me that they were blessed to go on a visit and blessed to meet a head coach. And it really leaves them thinking, but Amari Sanders is one. And I think Matt Rhule and Evan Cooper have done a really nice job there. And of course he's coming from Miami and there's still those connections as well. So Amari Sanders, someone to keep an eye on. He's still got visits to Florida, Florida State, Duke. He said he wants to see Illinois, West Virginia. It seems like he's a long way off in this process, but Nebraska's going to stay on him. He's, I think, a really sort of interesting guy to kind of note. Does not look like there's going to be an official visitor this weekend. Nebraska's doing a lot of camps out of the state, and then they're going to come back with their camp series over the weekend. And then it looks like Father's Day weekend or the weekend after, a lot more visitors to come. And then some midweek visitors next week as well. So plenty happening with recruiting. All that coverage, everything you can find, everything you need can be found at Husker247.com, where we'll have plenty on the camp, plenty on the offers. Nebraska made another in-state offer last night. BC, real quickly, you want to tell us about Michael Burt?
Yeah, Michael Burt, Omaha Creighton Prep, camped at Iowa on Sunday, and he went into that thinking, if I do what I think I'm capable of, I'm going to get an offer. And that triggers stuff because Iowa's ability with tight end recruiting and developing is, of course, respected. And so he gets the Iowa offer. He was on an unofficial to Minnesota. Minnesota offers, Nebraska offers, Illinois offers, 4 Big Ten offers in like 5 hours. Pretty cool situation. Iowa could be tough here. Early on, you just kind of read the tea leaves. He's going back there for an official this upcoming weekend. That's all that's on his calendar for now. And obviously Nebraska's got a lot of things in the air with different tight ends across the state. So that one probably has different angles to it, but it seems like Iowa did a really good job over the weekend. And he talked really, I would say of his quotes, that one stuck out when he talked about his experience there.
Yep, absolutely. All right, gentlemen, nice to see. We predicted Nebraska's season. We'll see, you know, how our predictions hold up when the actual season starts, but I think we did a great job. So congratulations to you. We will we'll attempt to get back together later this week for another podcast, and be sure to check out everything we got going on at Husker 24/7. Great deal if you're not a VIP member. Brunts, tell the people what they could get, or you know, the discount they could get right now with the deal we got going on at Husker 24/7.
Yeah, for a limited time, 60% off an annual subscription. You get your coverage locked in for the year at a great rate. Of course, after the promotional rate's done, you get access to a complimentary Paramount Plus subscription with the Husker 24/7 subscription as well. So hop on that now, limited time, and a good deal with a very busy June ahead.
All right. That's everything we got for you today with Husker 24/7. We'll be back later this week with some more Husker 24/7 podcast content.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.